Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the president of the Providence City Council, Luis Aponte. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, Rhode Island.
The city of Providence faces almost $2 billion in unfunded long-term obligations for pensions and retiree health care. Mayor Alorza is backing a series of studies meant to bolster the city's financial outlook. Yet the tough work of cutting the almost $2 billion in long-term obligations has yet to be done. Council President, what should the city do to cut these crushing obligations?
Earnestly and meaningfully begin to address the problem in the decisions that we make every day. In every contract, in every agreement, there needs to be some measure of policy and action that addresses the problem. I recently met with a group of folks and said to them the best time to have begun to address this was 20 years ago. The next best time is right now.
Mayor Alorza expresses hope that there can be a grand bargain of concessions with unions and retirees. Is that realistic?
It depends, but I think that the folks that I've spoken to understand their self-interest in working to preserve and protect the benefits that they and future members can count on.
You know, Council President, I'm wondering why Providence has a rate of return assumed on its pension fund of 8%, and I'm looking at the state's lower and more realistic, and I'm looking at CalPERS. They've got $300 billion. That's the California State Pension System. They're down to 7%. That's what they realistically think it is. Why would the city of Providence know more than CalPERS? And why doesn't the city go to a realistic rate of return?
We're heading in that direction. We've recently...
Kind of slowly, though, aren't you?
Slowly, but you got to understand, every quarter percent that we reduce the rate of return is akin to equals $2 million of money that we have to contribute into the pension fund. So we agree. It's unrealistic. 8.5% was unrealistic. 8.25%, 8% is unrealistic. But it will move. We're planning to move that over time. I don't think that we can make a drastic change in the assumption.
Maureen, do you think the city will really come to terms with these long-term obligations?
It seems to be very difficult because most of the problem is lies with the retirees, and that's a very different thing. You can structure the current contracts, but the real problem is what do you do about their situation? And when Mayor Alorza says that bankruptcy or receivership is not an option, well, then I'd like to hear what it is. Because I don't see how you can't have to do something relatively drastic to get us on the right track. And we may not be willing to do this. We may trim on the margins and kick the can down the road.
And I hear that frustration all the time, and I think it's well placed. However, I don't think bankruptcy resolves the issue, and I think it creates other additional issues. If we take these in the proper context, the employee, post-employee benefits are not a bill that we're going to have to pay tomorrow or the next day. These are as pay as you go, and folks will, not everyone's going to retire tomorrow or leave employment tomorrow. So that there's a longer horizon on those. What we need to begin to address is the 75% unfunded pension, and that has the possibility of really bringing the city down, and that's where our energy should be placed, and there really needs to be a thoughtful approach. And like I said earlier, I think people who are vested will recognize their self-interest and be willing to share in some pain to address it long term.
In other news in Providence, a new firefighter contract appears headed for approval. The contract will reduce the number of firefighters on duty at any time from 94 to 88. But Mayor Alorza and the city council disagree over how much savings will result from the contract. Council President Aponte, does this justify the confrontational approach that he took with the firefighters?
I would be careful in calling this a victory. This is a contract that still needs to be managed very carefully. The expectations or savings will need to be measured. We still have a department that's undermanned. We don't have enough firefighters. We will continue paying overtime and callback for the foreseeable future. We need to bring about 80 bodies back into the fold. It's a department that doesn't have permanent leadership. We haven't had a permanent fire chief in over a year. And I hope that this begins to, at least outside of Providence, demonstrate that the department is moving in the right direction. It is stabilized and that we will be able to attract quality leadership to help us address this issue with the fire department.
Maureen, did Mayor Lurza squander political capital by picking a fight with the firefighters?
Well, I have a very different take on this because I don't think it was a win for the mayor at all. Mm-hmm. I'm with the council on this. I'm glad they passed it and didn't approve it. I think when the mayor caved as far as the shift situation, the 3 to 4, and then went back, I think we were all snookered. I think the savings that are left are on the margins. The firemen won again, and I think this is going to be very difficult to justify because of the retirements, because of the need for more firefighters and what they're setting up. Mm-hmm. They can talk about savings on the margins, but the big problem were the shifts and the mayor caved.
How about that, Scott? Are these savings just very marginal?
No, I think all they really do is get Mayor Lurza through his administration and the cash flow problem that he had. The other thing, though, neither the council nor the mayor seems to be addressing in the long term what we really need to do, why there's so many firehouses, for instance, east of the Providence River, where, frankly, there's no fires. Mm-hmm. Secondly, why do we have to have a fire truck out with every rescue run? That makes no sense to me. Council President, can you tell me?
Those are decisions that are on the table and that we're looking to move forward. Part of this agreement in reducing the number of firefighters will absolutely have fewer pieces of equipment and fewer bodies in those firehouses that have the least amount of calls for service. The other highlights of this, and there's some good things in this contract. The other highlight is that there's some management opportunities that when we do get up to full capacity and bring in experienced leadership, we can begin to address how we deploy times of day rather than shifts so that you can take advantage of staffing levels when you really have the most calls for service. The other parts are retiree co-share in their health care benefits, firefighters first going to degree. This begins to address our post-employment benefits in a small way, but a step in the right direction. And the reduction from 94 to 88 is an absolute step in the right direction. So there are some good things in this contract.
We're short on time here, but before we let you go, Council President Aponte, I want to ask you about how a state council this week approved a tripling of the enrollment of the Achievement First Charter School. Mayor Lurza says he won't back this unless the City of Providence is able to make up the money somehow from the departure of students. What do you say to the students who are in Providence who may not be getting the best education? What needs to be done to improve public education?
Here's the issue, and we've been focused for the last few months on what the dollars mean, what this means to Providence. I think there's a fundamental question that we need to answer as a city and as a state. Do we continue to believe in public education as it's been for the last 100 years, or are we changing? 20 years ago, with the advent of charter schools were to have been labs that experimented and informed what we did in public schools. Today, we've set up a dynamic in which charters are in direct competition for public dollars with public schools. At the end of the day, my question is, do you believe in public education or don't you? And if you no longer do, then you need to take the steps to move in a new direction.
Critics would say that a lot of money is spent on public education in cities like Providence, and the return on the investment is not that great.
But one has to also understand the challenges of educating kids in the city of Providence and how that's different from the challenges that you have for educating kids in Barrington and East Greenwich and other parts of our state.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the president of the Providence City Council, Luis Aponte.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And a very happy holiday to all our listeners.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.